Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hello everyone. Hi, belated Merry Christmas. Hey, hi you guys. Thank you for tuning in to the Global Vision for Living Today. And oh my God, don't we need vision? You know, you got people scared to lean in their own home. So how in the world are they going to lead for God? Scared to talk in their own home. How are they going to talk for God? Who are they fooling? They're not fooling God. But you know, God has the new and the old commission, and he expects those that appreciate him and love him to follow that. You know, I survived 2020. Some of my friends did not survive, but I did. I don't know how, but I survived. This is what some are saying. They're hoping to say it, even though it's only December 26th. But they're saying, even with that acknowledgement, what do I do now? What do I do now? I've been misled all year. I've been sick most of the year. Crazy things keep coming up all around me every day. What in the world do I do? Well, you do really what you were told to do if you're following a creator God, and that is to really go on out there to the nation. If you walk across the street and talk about anything positive about the creator, then guess what? You have something to say. You are going, therefore, making disciples, teaching and preaching, and preaching Jesus, and then baptizing others in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then wait for the end to come. That's really that proclamation. But that is what we were all told to do. But now, how are we going to do it? How are we going to follow? How are we going to follow our own selves around in our own home? In fear. Well, we're going to hear about that. And I see we have most of you jumping on this dashboard. I mean, you're just really getting on there very fast. I see we have with us again Colonel William Harrison. Most of you know he's here every week, and you guys have flurry of questions, flurry of statements. But, you know, I thank God for you because, number one, it shows you are listening. You are not just hearing something. You are listening to what is being said, and of course you are responding. I love you for that. Don't think I don't. And I'm pretty sure Colonel Harrison and others that are joining on the call feel the same way. Why else would you get on the call? Okay? Enough false doctrine going on out there. But who will lead for an invisible creator, an invisible spirit, one that says he's a spirit? Oh my God. The new commission right now is to stop the joke. Many of us, including myself, have come out of the church community. Let's face the facts. Let's face the truth. You didn't do anything. I tried, but I know when I got involved in a church membership, you don't really have to do anything. Just come in there, you know, give some money, listen, something like that. But I can tell you right now, it's more than that. When you follow, you're walking. When you're following, you aren't leading. And so since we have Colonel Harrison with us today, we're going to talk about this new commission. We already know about the Matthew Commission, but what we're interested in now is a new commission before it is too late. The end has not come yet, or we would not be on this line, and you would not be on the line wherever you're at listening. So the new commission, it certainly is not to go ye and sit down. You know, that sounds attractive. You know, you can look good, you know, wear your high heels, you know, come in there in your nice suit. I don't see that a century ago, because if those early disciples were on the run, I don't see that. Colonel Harrison, welcome to the show. Let's talk about the new commission. What is that new commission? Is it the same one? Has anything changed? Are we still supposed to be following the old commission, or have some of our modern-day ministers changed that? Come on in and sit down. Come on in and sit down. If COVID hasn't eaten you up, come on in and sit down. Well, Satan has changed that. You can't do it. Talk to us about the new commission for those interested in leading out and showing how for God.
Good morning, Dr. Capitano, listening audience. The commission is the same. the commission is the same. There's not a new commission, it's the Great Commission. And it's found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. And it's a commission that Jesus had trained his original 12 disciples, how to heal the sick, raise the dead, and give sight to the blind, and deliver them from leprosy, and extricate evil spirits, and so forth. He outlines all of this in Matthew 28. And then he tells them to baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because he wanted them to, the original 12, to be an extension of him, so that when he was crucified and after his resurrection and he returned to heaven, that they would be able to carry on this great commission. It was an assignment that he gave to them after teaching them for almost three and a half years of Jesus' earthly ministry. So the new commission is the same as the Great Commission. Really, it is the Great Commission, and it's in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. I encourage all to read it. It's very profound. It's 2,000 years old, but yet it's just as relevant today in the 21st century as it was during the first century.
Oh, my God, that sounds very exciting. Well, let me ask you this. You don't look out your window. You don't drive down the street. You don't look around the corner. And you don't see anybody out on the Go Ye Therefore mission. You don't see that. What you see is nothing. You don't see anyone as a group. I can mention one in America, and of course they're international. But how come you don't look out and see people on the street heeding the so-called new commission? You said it's not new, it's old, but you see many ministers are teaching a new gospel, or they're not teaching one at all. Go ye therefore, people. Why is that if it is not a new commission?
Excellent question. Thank you.
Yeah, where are they? Yeah, where are they?
The problem is it has not gotten, the message of the commission, going ye therefore, has not gotten lost through translation. It's gotten lost through communication and dedication. There's been a problem with messaging, and so that's what the problem is. The message has not been clear, or the message has not been put forth by those who are called and ordained to proclaim the gospel to all nations. That's why the commission is go ye therefore. The original 12 mm-hmm. disciples were basically Jews, but there were Gentiles also in the group. So we are to go forth. We have stopped. If you stop telling your children what to do, for an example, they're not going to know what to do. If you don't teach them about God, you don't teach them family values, you don't take them to church, you don't teach them certain principles. So it's got the Great Commission, the meaning, intent has gotten lost through messaging. The messaging has almost stopped. It hasn't stopped, but it's almost stopped. There's still a few preachers that are out there preaching and teaching the Great Commission, but not enough.
Yes, not enough. And you said for those that were called, did Jesus call through the apostles all people? He said, go ye therefore and make disciples. I mean, so can we just say those that are called are a small army, or those that are out there looking for some type of salvation out of a bad world, are they not also to be called? And I don't know what this word called means. We can get into that maybe later on in this conversation, or I think that should be a blockbuster topic. Who are called by God? Oh, I know it. You know, I was, I'm going to detour. I was up this morning looking at the blast and everything that goes out and what the numbers are. It is incredible how that it was a, let me see if I can get it over here. I'm going to switch over. Yeah, it was incredible on these campaigns. One got 18, and I'm going back in, to the campaigns loading to the one that, oh, here we go. Hope, Lonely, Anxiety. This was a young man that set up a portal, and he was talking about, in fact, I'm going to pull it up. He got 19. We have not had that. The highest here, here we go again, that Collision Ministries, oh my God, that's topping off the charts. And next in line that's running amok, oh my God, is the actual. And I know this may not sound right, but the virtual baptism is off the chain. So we still have a lot of people interested, but I don't think they fully understand this thing about who's called. Is that word used to set people up over on top of each other, you know, give them some grandiosity or something like that? Or is it to just go you there and teach and keep on going? I mean, can you explain that to us? Because the topic is who will lead. So I'm almost sure that you would have to have some kind of a hunching, as my father called it, the late Bishop James Howard Mims. But this thing, I was called to preach. I think we really need, and the phone is hopping. I guess people want to really say something about that. But hey, you guys, we're not calling in for any speakers right now. Just listen. But I think that word needs to be broken down, because it appears that if you don't have some kind of, paranormality about you going out there talking to God, do you have to be whatever call means? Do you have to be that to go out and teach? Do you have to be that to go out and baptize people? Whatever that is, do you have to be that before you go out there and lead people to God? We're going to have to really talk about that, because I see we're getting the dashboard. We're getting a lot of interest on that. But who will lead for God? That's the topic. Can you give us, Colonel Harrison, not any prerequisites, but can you tell us the type of personality? And that's good, the type of personality of someone that would lead for God. I don't think you need a degree to lead for God. I don't think you have to have two legs and two arms to lead for God. But I think the world has gotten to that point only because some people want to be looked up to. They want to play God. They want to play Satan. They want to play Big Shot. Talk to us about that. Because this word called is something. Do you have to be whatever that word means? And we need to break it down. What kind of person can actually lead for God? Is there scripture? Is there scriptures that tell what kind of person? Because them disciples were fishermen and lawyer, doctor, all of that. And it was a mixed company that was standing there too when he was ascending. So did he give any credulity on the kind of person that he would say, go on out there and make disciples? Talk to us about that.
No, there is no qualification for whomsoever God decides to use. The calling is really a summons by God for whomever he so choose, whether it's a layman, whether it's a laborer, a ditch digger, homeless person, prostitute, a businessman, whomever it may be. God is no respecter of persons. So the call is a summons for them to come and learn the word and go forth and share the word with others to save souls, to salvage souls. And there's three aspects of the calling. There's the worship, where we go and call on the name of Lord and worship. The second is election, those who are summoned by God to go and preach and teach the word and lead others into salvation. Then there's the vocation, those who become preachers and evangelists and bishops and so forth and so on, that have fivefold ministries. So we have the worship, we have the election, and we have the vocation. But the call is a summons, to make it simple, of a person that's summons by God, that the Great Spirit, to Jehovah, to go forth and teach, preach, and illustrate the ministry to others to bring people into salvation. The purpose is to save souls, to harvest souls, to gather souls together so they won't perish. And it's hard for people to get their hands wrapped around it, because God is not popular these days and time. Most people don't even know who God is. But the call is a summons by God Almighty, who's an infinite creative being named Jehovah, to go forth as he told the original disciples back in Matthew chapter 28, 2,000 years ago, to baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to save souls. There's a harvesting of saving souls from perishing. Either we get saved or we run the risk of perishing in this world. So I'll pause.
Well, that sounds kind of scary. How would a person know? Let's say he's sitting in a back alley in a car that don't run. How can a person know? Or and I don't want to use this word because, you know, I kind of got into trouble on this stealing thing last week. How does a person know they're summoned by God? You never hear that in the modern day church. You know, they'll say, "Oh, we're gonna have an ordination service and blah blah blah," and many are clicking in because they want to know the answer to this. How would a person know that they have been summoned by God? If you need a few moments to think about it, we can move on and come back. How would a person know that they have been summoned by God, the true God?
Let me say it this way. It's an experience. It's invisible, it's intangible, and it's what one experiences. And the experience can be in so many different ways. There's a myriad of ways that it happens. And I can't begin in my infinite mind to qualify or quantify this because I was summoned one way. Others may be summoned another way. It depends upon how God, through the Holy Spirit, which is the third person of the Godhead, moves upon a person to get their attention. Sometimes he uses an accident. A person could be a survivor of an automobile accident, and God can, through the Holy Spirit, move invisibly upon their mind, their heart, their spirit, and their soul, and get them to go and preach and teach and testify how they were saved, how they were spared. It happens. It's an experience, and it's an infinite experience, and it happens so many different ways. It's hard to even begin to qualify and quantify what it is and how it may affect someone else. I received it one way. Someone else may receive it another. And so it's an intangible spirit, like faith. Faith is invisible. Faith is belief and trust in God. The same with the summons, the same with the calling. People experience it different ways.
Well, you know, I'm looking into the word. Yeah, excuse me. I don't mean to cut you off, doctor.
Sure.
You know, I'm looking here at Leviticus. I'm looking at Deuteronomy. I'm looking at Numbers. If we're talking about the true God, he didn't leave anything to suspect. He didn't leave anything to people just running around saying, "I'm this, I'm this, I'm this, I'm that." He had in the book of Leviticus, and that's the book of the laws, if there was anything that God wanted them to know and that they had to do it this way, Deuteronomy, there's the whole book of law there. He did not leave it for anyone to come up and say, "I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that," especially with the Levitical priesthood that started the first module. For anyone claiming, "Hey, I'm here to worship God," if we go all the way back, no one just sprung up and said, "Oh, yeah, I was this or that, and this feeling came over me and this and that." God always laid out the master plan for any that would worship him, serve at his temple, serve at the tabernacle, and we could go on that. So it was not a blind sight or someone getting up, walking into a camp saying, "Yes, the great creator has told me to go here and there." God had a way of summoning people through the tribes. So do you think this might have a bearing on why so many of the churches have closed? Because I would, without even an education, I would figure if a person rise up and just say, "Oh, yeah, you know, I felt this, I felt an urchin," maybe coming off an alcoholic binge, drug binge. I don't think that's the way, dashboard is hopping, I don't think that's the way God would summon or call anyone. He had a set line of laws and ways and ways and means. That's where that came from. Some major corporations use that. He had ways and means. No one just got up on their own volition and said that. Do you think that's why some of our churches have closed never to reopen again, and all these ministers are caught in scandal, they so-called called or whatever they want to call it? I wonder, do you think some of them maybe have not been called by God? I never heard that. You know, I just heard if you want to serve God, first of all, you have to be taught. You have, if they don't come into your home once a week, you have to, some kind of way, you have to be taught first. And then you are baptized. Then you go forward. Anybody in wheelchairs, on canes, on crutches, in all kind of neighborhoods. I never heard that God got to call you. I mean, talk to us about that.
Okay, there's
talk
three. Let me go through
this. Just to say, I've been called by God, so I'm going to preach. My friend is going to ordain me in his church. Please talk to us about that.
Okay. As I said earlier, there's three aspects of the call, a calling. One is to worship. Everyone is called to worship God because God is the creator of everything on earth, and mankind is his highest creation. The second is election. There are those who God chose to...
Colonel, I just love your voice. When you say they're called, because you know where the servant come in, is the word you're using the same as a servant? Is the word that you're using for these kind of people, were they known even in biblical days? All of those under the Roman oppression, taught by Paul, taught by Matthew, taught by Mark, were they supposed to just rise up and go start apostolic churches? I mean, help us out now, because we're talking about people led, people who will lead for God. That's our topic. And I don't know if we want to use the word qualifications. I'm trying to break it down so the ordinary man can say, I got a chance too. The man in the barbershop, the dog catcher, I have a chance too. I don't need all of these lofty titles. Paul said he considered all that as garbage. He considered that. He was known as Paul, and that was it. It wasn't nothing else on there. His work spoke for themselves. His work spoke. He turned around, silver and gold have I not, but what I do have. They didn't have nothing. So how do we clarify a person rising up on his own volition, no evidence, no proof? Oh, well, I felt that. Well, I had an hunching on this. No qualifications whatsoever. Where does that type of thinking come from? Help us, because there's a lot of people on the call today, more than we've ever had, and I guess they really want to know. I want to get close to God, and I want to lead for God. What do I have to do? Tell me in a practical way. 1, 2, 3. I have to educate myself and then go. What is the next format for people that want to lead for God?
Three categories. First is worship. Second is election. Third is vocation. One must become a worshiper, come to God first. As a worshiper, learn to worship God in spirit and in truth to get to know God's words and so forth. Worshipers, the first category. Mm-hmm. The second category, all are servants. The second category is election. There are certain people that God choose to be taught his word, either through revelation or through the studying of the word. Election, chosen, mm-hmm. set apart, bishops and teachers mm-hmm. and evangelists and apostles and the like. And thirdly, there are those who are given to vocation, such as priests and nuns and others that go out as missionaries and and so forth. That becomes their work that they do. So we have for those who are worshipers that are summoned to come and worship God, and they become witnesses for God. Then you have those that are election, like the bishops, apostles, pastors, and teachers that teach and preach and so forth. And then you have those who are given by vocation, such as the priests and nuns and traveling missionaries that work and do it as a matter of lifestyle, that do it for God. So those are three primary categories, if you want to incorporate in the calling. But all three mm-hmm. are servants. The worshipers are servants. Those who are elected by God are servants. And those who do it as a job, vocation, are servants. All are servants. Mm-hmm. But they're summons, and they're used a different way based on the revelation of the Spirit that God gives them and the inspiration of the Spirit that He gives them and the assignment that He gives them to go forth and do the work of an evangelist.
Mm-hmm. Why is that system breaking down? Why do we see it break down? I understood, and that's great. That was a great way to put it. That was an amazing way to get that question answered. But knowing God, and knowing God never fails, He never fails at what He's about. His people, His real ones, never fail. You don't hear them running, mocking about. So if that is so, why do we see modern-day religion broken down and brokenhearted, and people have lost faith? There was so much out here about why people don't want to celebrate Christmas anymore, and how they this and how they that. They're setting these places on fire. They are publicly coming out talking about main straight top evangelists like dogs. They're uncovering their skirts with blood. Can we say God has any, the real one? Can we, the one named Jehovah, can we say that the Him who says He cannot fail? Why is the organizations that claim, oh, yeah, I'm going to leave for God, why have they failed? Why are their churches closed? Are they empty? They got a handful. You can count on two hands sitting there, if they're sitting there at all. What has happened? Tell us so that we won't fall prey to listening to people in that shape. Why have they failed? It looks like God has turned His Spirit away from them. Why have they failed?
They have failed because they have deviated, they have turned away from all the principles of the Great Commission, which is simply simple principles. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, and whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the world. They have turned away from that, got distracted because of pursuits of materialism, pursuits of money, pursuits of things of this world. And any time one who's called turn their attention away from what God has given them, they're going to lose a certain portion of their anointing, which is the invisible Spirit of God that is within a man or woman or child that's given them to be able to convince others that they need to change their lifestyle. They need to become saved so that they can live a better quality life, not only in this world, but in the world to come. So because their attentions are turned away, their anointing is reduced or taken away from them, and therefore they have less effect being able to convince people to come unto salvation and follow God.
Wow, Colonel Harrison has done it again. That's a terrific answer, and so you do not have to call or send cheap texts or emails, because yes, you can look out there and say, my pastor ain't no good, most of them no good, nobody's in them, blah, blah, blah. You know, wow. All I can say is thank you very much for that. Who will lead for God? The new and the old commission. You heard Colonel Harrison say, no, there's no new commission. The old one still is in application, and it still applies. Education, education, education. The Bible, you must be educated in it so that you don't fall prey to these kind of people. God bless you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to know more about the base ministry that is behind the Global Vision for Living Today ministry, it is the International Platform for Peace, www.ip4peace, and that is P-E-A-C-E, peace.org. Also, you might be interested in a virtual baptism. If so, please contact MotherNature7@gmail.com. And again, hey, Merry belated Christmas and all good. Tune in next Saturday. As you know, we're moving straight into 2021 with news and information that you can use. And most of all, it can be soul-saving for you and your family. God bless you. Have a nice Saturday. Have a great weekend.